The best way to start your sports weekend. This is the WILS Weekend Kickoff with Dave Benton on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS. Also streaming live, 1320WILS.com. Hey, want to be our friend on Facebook? Just visit us, 1320 WILS Weekend Kickoff. And Scott will also have stuff on Twitter at WILS Weekend Kick. You know, I'm going to let you in on a little bit of secret here. I'm not a huge fan of women's college basketball. I never have been. Not a big fan of the sport at all. I'm not saying that they're not good athletes. I'm not saying that women's college basketball has poor players. I'm sure they could beat me one-on-one. There's no doubt about it. Okay? I just don't like to watch it on TV. And that's the basic gist. I never have, not a big fan. And this whole UConn streak thing kind of rubbed me the wrong way. You know, it was a great feat by them. But, you know, something happened in men's college basketball this week that really put that streak to shame and tells us exactly why nobody cared about that UConn streak and what happened. You realize on Tuesday, just to show you the parody that's going on in men's college basketball these days, here's what happened just on Tuesday and in the last couple of weeks. Penn State has beaten both Michigan State and Illinois. Florida State beat number one Duke after losing three of its last four to teams like Auburn. Iowa State and Michigan took Kansas to the wire. Ohio State almost lost to Minnesota and Michigan in 1 week. Georgetown, who's beaten number eight Missouri and number 17 Memphis this season, has now lost to St. John's, Temple, and West Virginia. Colorado beats Kansas State, a very good Kansas State team. Meanwhile, so you have all that parity in 1 week. 1 week, Scott. Meanwhile, UConn is playing a schedule where they're winning games 117-37. They're also winning 86-25, 81-38. Oh, you want to throw some ranked teams in there? How about 81-50 to number 10 Ohio State? How about 93-62 to number 20 Florida State? And the point I'm getting at here is that men's basketball, and Scott, I want your opinion on this. I don't think there's ever been more parity in men's basketball than there has been this year. The fact that there's 30 teams I could probably think of off the top of my head that if they got hot could be in the Final Four. And then you look at women's basketball and the fact that it's UConn, sometimes Tennessee, although they've really dropped off the radar, and then Baylor. And there's really no comparison, and that's why nobody cares about the UConn women and their streak.
Yeah, sadly, I have to agree, and I have some experience. I was in the Spartan Brass, the band, at men's basketball, women's basketball, and hockey for four years at Michigan State. So I was there when Michigan State had Kristen Haney, Lindsey Bowen, Liz Schimmick, Kelly Rowrig, going to Final Four.
I was about to say, playing, the Final Four year.
They went to I didn't go to the Final Four that year, my freshman year when they played Baylor in the championship game. And I've played one-on-one against players. I've played pickup games with them, played competitively with them. Now, granted, I was in better shape then, and the guys I was playing with were better basketball players than me, too. But just looking, and I was talking to you about this last night, Dave. Michigan State is one loss. The women's team has one loss, ranked in the top 10. They beat Iowa on a last-second three the other night. Their only loss is a 20-plus point loss to Baylor.
Yeah, who's a top two team at this point.
And I say it from the years where I was watching, where I'd be at every women's game. There's not that parity. You've got the line between numbers one and two. Like, who cares that UConn lost? They're still number one by a long shot, in my opinion. Yeah, they only beat Baylor by one earlier in the year. But you have, just throw those top two there. They'll beat everybody else. Then you can say maybe the next 3 through 10, they will beat up on the rest of the top 25. And then if you're not even ranked, you don't have a chance. You can go through a bracket when it comes tournament time and pick the favorites, and you'll do pretty well all throughout.
The bottom line is, okay, yes, it was impressive that UConn has created this program that is able to dominate people. The fact that they've got the best 15 players in the entire country year in and year out, their worst player is better than most starters on even a Baylor or an Ohio State or something like that in women's basketball. But that hurts them, and it hurts the fact that they won that many games because they're so much better than everybody. You can use UConn men's basketball as a great example of the parity in men's basketball right now. UConn was not ranked. In fact, at the beginning of the year, UConn was expected to finish the season below 500. They weren't even supposed to make the NIT. They start off the season rattling off wins against Wichita State, Michigan State, and Kentucky. They've also beaten this year Texas, and they've lost to Notre Dame and got crushed by Pittsburgh. This is a team that now is a top 10 team, has beaten other top 10 teams, and is getting crushed by other teams that are in the top 25. Okay, you look at the parity of these teams. Look at Florida State. The way that they manhandled Duke in that game, they completely outplayed number one Duke, who has completely outplayed everybody they've played this year. The fact that the men's basketball side of things has 30 to 40 teams that are there are teams this year that aren't going to make it to the NCAA tournament that I would say have a legitimate shot on their day to beat a top 10 team. And they're not even going to make the tournament this year. You know, a team like Clemson, who I think who has a lot of talent, is probably going to finish right around 500. And so for that point, that is the reason why nobody cared about that UConn women's winning streak. And I know it's a little outdated, but because of what happened this week in men's college basketball, it really illustrated how much men's basketball is ahead of women's basketball. And the fact is, if women's basketball is ever going to compete with men's basketball, and I don't think it is, okay, it's never going to come close, they're about 20 years away from that. They're about 20 years away from sort of creating some sort of parity that men's basketball has. And you're making this face at me, Scott, but the truth is, if you look at UCLA way back in the day when they made the streaks, okay, what was the competition like back then? Very similar to what UConn women are doing now. They played, I think it was 8 ranked teams in that very long streak of wins that UCLA had. The parity was not there back then. And so the parity took that long to get here. So for women's basketball, that much farther behind.
I think it's tough to say that far ahead. And when you said 20 years, I'm thinking that's going to be girls who aren't even born yet.
Yes.
Who would be on that. But it is tough because, like you were saying, they have the best players. All Americans, they want to go to UConn. That's so far ahead right now where Gino Auriemma doesn't have to recruit that hard. UConn has that
name. I'd be surprised if he recruits at all. And that's the thing. In men's basketball, people want to be the star. People want to be the guy that everybody talks about.
Good point.
And so when you go to these teams, and, you know, a guy like Malcolm Delaney at Virginia Tech, Malcolm Delaney could have definitely been a sixth man on Duke or something like that, but he wanted to be the stud. So he went to Virginia Tech. Trey Ziegler wanted to be the stud, didn't want to be a role player. So, he had his dad in too, but that's why he went to Central Michigan.
And just to think of that, when you're talking college basketball, the people you talk about, yeah, there'll be some standout players. You don't necessarily talk about the team, maybe the coach. But when you're talking women's basketball, you don't pick out the individuals. Maybe Brittany Griner from Baylor. But it's the UConn team. Every once in a while, they have studs like Maya Moore, who you're going to talk about. But
men's,
that's the team.
Men's college basketball teams are made up of two or three stars. And you talk about that two or three star nucleus, and then it's a bunch of role players around it. We talk about it all the time. What does a team need to win a national championship? You need good guard play, you need depth at big man, and you need a three-star nucleus. Okay, look back at all the teams. Look at Michigan State. Look at Maryland. Look at Duke. Look at North Carolina. All of them had three-star nucleuses and a bunch of role players.
And you have to have a redhead shooter.
Sometimes. It can help. But that's what I'm saying is, and I'm not, I guess I am trying to bash on women's basketball because I don't like it. I don't find it entertaining. I'm not a big fan of it. I never have been. I never will be. I think it's really boring to watch. The bottom line is, I wouldn't pay to watch me play basketball. I wouldn't pay to watch most high school basketball and things like that. The truth is that I don't think they're bad players. I just don't want to watch them on ESPN.
I will give you that, but just so that we're not so negative towards it, I have to say one of my favorite memories in Breslin was when the Michigan State women's basketball team beat Ohio State. I think it might have been the last game of the regular season to win the Big Ten championship. And then that game, if you were in person when they upset Duke when Coach P came back a couple years ago in the tournament, that game was amazing to be at, just the atmosphere. But yeah, to watch it on TV, it doesn't have that electricity.
I'm pretty sure if I was at the game, I wouldn't feel the electricity either. I just can't get into it at all. And the fact that that's some of your great memories, I feel a little bit bad for you.
Well, I had to miss the win over, what was it, Wisconsin. That's the one men's game I've missed. So
I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Thanks, Dave. I'm just saying
I feel bad for you. Josh Helmholtz will be here at 9:50 to talk about Brady Hoke. He's from the Wolverine. We'll also have Brent Petway talking about the Harlem Globetrotters. He's a new member of the Harlem Globetrotters, and they'll be at the Breslin Center next week. Now, they're a team I would go see anytime. Harlem Globetrotters are a fun team to watch. They may travel a lot. They may break a lot of rules, but they're a fun team to watch. And also Blair White, Indianapolis Colts wide receiver and former Michigan State wideout, will be here with us. Up next, talk a little Detroit Tigers, some big signings pitching-wise in the last 72 hours. It's 1320 WILS.